welcome to this Easter Sunday message, Sunday the 20th of April, 2025. We read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, by way of getting started. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. But in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and find grace in our time of need. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day and its significance in our lives as your children. Thank you that we serve a living Savior. Our God is not dead, he is alive. Thank you that he overcame the power of the grave and paved the way for us to move from this earth to glory one day. We thank you for this teaching that we are going to be looking at this morning, and we pray, Lord, that it will make a big difference in our lives. Equip us yet still further to be of greater blessing to you and to others on the earth in our time appointed here. We ask this in the wonderful name of this great high priest, Yeshua. Amen. The title of this message is Our Great High Priest. Now, I'm sure we all are aware that Easter Sunday is where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. The fact that he rose again from death, he conquered death, conquered hell and the grave, and paved the way, as it were, for us. And as wonderful as that, as exhilarating as those thoughts are, and as much as we could spend an eternity contemplating the greatness of that, I'd like to take a slightly different approach this morning. What I have in mind is, you might say, very much like as a child we used to get those puzzle books, and one of the puzzles was connect the dots. The page is a whole lot of dots with numbers on. It was a good way to learn how to count, by the way. But as children, as you connected all those little dots together, eventually what emerged was a picture. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help me with this, but the idea here is to take a look at a number of scriptures, join the dots, as it were, of a number of scriptures in an effort to get a better understanding of the significance of Christ, our great high priest. The reason for this is very simple, really, because you see, when you and I have a greater understanding, we have a greater picture, as it were, we can release more faith. The more faith we can release, faith is only released through understanding, hearing the word of God. The more of that faith we can have and, as it were, utilize, the more God can do on this earth through us and for us. So that's the idea, but I'm running a bit ahead of myself. As I say, let's go and connect all these dots. We start with this Hebrew scripture. Remember, this was Ascension Sunday, sometime in past history, approximately over 2,000 years ago. The exact date is contested, but that's irrelevant. The fact is that it happened. There was a day where this person who had been crucified, Christ Yeshua, and had lain in a tomb for a number of days, was miraculously resurrected. Now, what happened in that moment in the preceding days, subject to speculation, he did go to hell, he did release captives there, he did a lot of things, but ultimately, this is the emphasis of this passage. He passed through the heavens. And because he passed through the heavens, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. This is very important to grasp. He's now seated in his body. Note, in his physical body, he is seated most of the time at the right hand of the Father. So I'd like us just to picture that. Yes, people have seen him. He's taken journeys to the earth. He does on occasion, apparently. But let's put it this way. His permanent address, as it were, where he dwells on an ongoing basis, is at the right hand of the Father, in glory inexplicable. Now remember, the Father is the God of the universe. All created things are under his control. In a sense, he is in the driving seat of the whole universe that we know and beyond. Whatever he declares happens. That's how it works. Whatever he declares is how it happens. All right, so let's look at the picture. This is the first dot, as it were. Christ, our Lord and Savior, did not remain dead. He was transported. After whatever happened here on earth, he was taken up and is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? So now, what does he do there? That's a very practical question. You see, the whole thing about the Lord having been resurrected has got great practical implications for you and I. It's not just a wonderful thing to contemplate that there is victory beyond the grave, as wonderful as that is. It has practical applications which impacts upon your and my life right here, right now. And you see, the better we have understanding of that, as I've said, the greater this revelation can work for us. All right. So now the first dot, we have Christ seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's right at the seat of the throne of all power and all glory. And of course, he absorbs that and he is filled with all power and all glory. But what does he do there? Now, of course, he spends a lot of time just enjoying his Father. They have a wonderful relationship. That's the heart of everything that is of any value, relationship, and the Father and the Son exemplify that. He has a great time with his dad. But it's not just a case of him sitting around on his Father's lap, as it were. He's grown beyond that, in a sense. Now, what does he do there? Well, we look at Hebrews 7:25, just a little bit further on, right? We've got a great high priest. The next dot is to understand what a priest is. In the Old Testament, God instituted the office of priests, Aaron and the priests. Every year, Israel selected a high priest. What did that high priest do? Well, you see, the whole purpose of the priesthood was to be an in-between, as it were, a go-between. A go-between between man and God, a mediator, as they call it. When we have a hostage crisis in the world, as we know, going on all the time, but you have two enemy factions in different locations, different countries. If they want to negotiate peace, what has got to happen? Somebody has got to go between. They've got to appoint somebody to mediate, someone who can go from one side and talk to perhaps the mediators or the actual opposition on the other side. You see, a mediator, someone who goes between. Well, the priest's job was to go between. Remember, in the Old Testament, there was no Holy Spirit on the earth. He was in heaven, but not on the earth. So you and I as human beings did not have access, legal access, as it were, to God. We had to go through priests. We had to go through prophets, priests, and sometimes kings. They were anointed to, as it were, be go-betweens between God and man. So you see, Yeshua became our great high priest. What does a high priest do? Well, as we mentioned earlier, he mediates. All right? Now let's read Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Since, notice this, he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives to make intercession for them. Just think about that. Let that sink in. We've got a high priest who is much better than any priest that could ever walk on this earth, because he's not on this earth. He's right up there seated at the right hand of the Father. And his job, day in, day out, is to make intercession for us. What does that mean? Well, he stands in the gap, as it were. He breaches this great chasm between us in our failed humanity and the righteous Almighty God himself, the Holy God, the God of the universe, this awesome supreme being, our Father. You and I, as some religions like to describe us, miserable sinners, we are miserable and we are sinners, but God has redeemed us. But you see, even though we are in that condition, we have somebody right there at the right hand of the Father. In 1 John 2 verse 1, it describes this situation as the Lord being our advocate with the Father. Our advocate. Very similar in understanding. In legal affairs on this earth, you and I are involved with some contention or other, and we have to go to court. The court and the laws and the whole system is extremely complicated. I've got just a little bit of an idea because I studied it for about 5 years. But that's not enough to really understand it. You have to live in it to understand it. So you see, you and I have got a big bash in our car and we want to get it sorted out by the woman who drove into it. Sorry, ladies. But we want to get redress. However, we've got to go through the legal system because this lady doesn't want to cough up. This has actually happened to me, by the way. But you see, when we go to the legal system, what do we need? We haven't got time to know how the system works or learn how it works. What have we got to have? We have to have somebody to stand in the gap for us, to stand between us and the judge and to present our case. We have to have an advocate, so to speak. Well, you see, we've got an advocate. We've got the greatest advocate of all. This advocate of ours is right in on the whole deal, as it were. Can you see? We've got somebody in the presence of Almighty God who's making a case for us all the time. Now, that's a wonderful thought to consider. But what case is he making? You see, we need to understand something. This priest of ours is also known as the high priest of our profession. All right? He is the high priest of our profession. What does that mean? Profession and confession are the same thing, by the way. Confession has a slightly, how shall we say, limited application. We know very well about confessing our sins, very important. It's a whole teaching on its own. And you see, you and I can come before God, and as we confess our sins, we don't have to have a priest because we have an advocate right there, our high priest, explaining to God that it's covered in the blood. But we won't go there just yet. That same word can be translated as profession. Profession is something that you and I boldly proclaim. At a university, a professor is somebody who boldly proclaims his authority in a particular subject. A professor of philosophy or whatever. Can you see? We can profess. What do we profess? Well, you see, we've got to understand that God has given us a whole lot of promises in his word. Once again, we're just connecting a whole lot of dots here. Remember, faith comes from hearing the word. Now, just bear this in mind. The moment you and I take his word, take the promises in his word, and apply them to a situation that we are facing. We profess his word over us, over the situation. Please, it takes a lot of, how shall I say, revelation to grasp this. We need the Holy Spirit to help us have a clear picture. You see, when you and I take his word, as it applies to a situation, be it a financial need, a health crisis, a relationship crisis, whatever the situation might be, when we identify the promises of God, and there are many, we recognize that we've been redeemed from the curse by the sacrifice of Christ. We have been planted into the blessings of Abraham. We start to grasp these things. But you see, knowing them is not enough. However, just to connect these dots, we take these words and we speak them out. Boldly speak them out with as much conviction that we can muster. Call it conviction. It's really faith. Guess what happened? Well, don't guess. Let's read what happened. What have we just read? We have a high priest seated at the right hand of the Father, whoever liveth to make confession. He is right there, and he makes that same proclamation, as it were, into the ear of Almighty God, the seat of all power and authority in the universe. Just think about that. Just think about that. Humble you and I in this situation, desperately needing mercy in our time of need, and not only in our time of need, all the time, at any time, facing the challenges of life. Think about this. The moment we identify the promise of God and we frame our request in terms of His word, of His promises, the moment we do that and we boldly profess that, in that very, very instant, those words are picked up by our advocate, as it were, who stands in the Supreme Court of the universe, who has the ear of God, not only because He is our advocate, but because He is His Son. He whispers those words into His Father's ear. You can't have more influence than that. In this world, there is a saying that it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's really true in many situations. You can know all the law, but sometimes if your advocate knows the judge, you're far better off. And it does happen that that changes the whole case. But you see, we have got somebody that we know. We have somebody that we really know and who really knows us. In fact, it goes even deeper than that. And here's another dot. Let's just connect this one. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 4 to 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now listen to this. And raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Yeshua. Not only do we know the chief advocate, we're actually in His office, if I can put it that way. And we're in His office while He is speaking to the Father, so there can be no mistake. To all intents and purposes, we are speaking to the Father. You and I, children of God, have a place of authority that I think very few of us have any grasp of. And the point is, the greater our grasp is, the greater our faith will be, and the greater our faith will be, the greater will be the efficacy of our confession, our profession, our prayer, our intercession. So let's go to the next dot, almost the final dot. We read in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. All right, this is the confidence, assurance. This is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, do you see that? According to His will. That's where the promises based on His word come in. If we ask anything, notice anything according to His will. And can I just say His will for us is just blessing. He hears us. Can you see that? Now, if we connect all the other dots, you'll realize why He hears us. You see, and if we realize that it's his presence in the presence of Almighty God that ensures that Almighty God hears every word, if we understand that, if we have a grasp of that, if the Holy Spirit has blessed us with a revelation of that, we know that he hears us. He can't not hear us. It's like a child shouting in the ears of the father or the mother. And the father turns around and says, "Don't shout, I can hear you, I can hear you." Well, you see, God doesn't do that. But in a sense, every time we speak, he hears us. And we need to know that he hears us. We need to have faith in that. The fact that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places and he is speaking to the Father always, whoever liveth, to always make intercession. For who? Us. And don't think, oh, well, there's, 7 billion people on this earth. It's impossible. We're not dealing with human resource. We're dealing with Almighty God, whose capacity is far greater than anything you and I could ever possibly conceive. 7 billion, whatever, is no match for him. He can pick every single thing up because he's already picking up a million more times that in other regards. But you see, if we have that confidence, now listen, this is the last dot coming up here. If we know that he hears us, and I'm trusting by the Holy Spirit, from this revelation we've been talking about, by connecting all these dots, we'll know that he can't not hear us. Well, you see, if we know that he hears us, guess what? Whatever we ask, notice, God is a God of superlatives. Whatever we ask, we know that we have. We have the petitions that we have asked of him. Just think about that. You and I, when we base our petitions on the promises of God, what he has said about us, with full revelation, we go before the throne of grace in Christ Yeshua, not clothed in our own great glory or purity, not at all. We're not trusting in that at all. We're trusting in the completed fact that Christ was raised from the dead and is seated at his right hand on this day. Can you see? If we know that, we can understand that whenever we speak those words, we know Almighty God has heard them. Almighty God has heard them. And because they are his promises to us, guess what? The God of the universe is honor bound in his own way. Please note, not our way, in his own way, he's honor bound to fulfill that request. If you go to a court of law and your case is watertight, assuming there's no bribery involved, God forbid. But if your case is watertight, what does the judge have to do? He has to pronounce judgment in your favor. He doesn't have a choice. It's got nothing to do with him, in a sense. And God's great love wants to pronounce judgment in our favor all the time. That's his nature. That's why he sent the Son in the first place, to give himself a good excuse, a good reason, a perfectly sound legal reason to find on our behalf. Can you see? I hope by joining all these dots together, and there are many others we haven't got time to go into, but you see, what we trust God for is a growing revelation of your and my position in Christ. He seated us at the right hand of the Father, above all principalities and powers on this earth. That's where we are. That's where we are placed. Because not only did Christ rise and become seated at the right hand with the Father, when you and I accept him into our lives, we become seated with the Father as well. Resurrection Sunday wasn't just about the resurrection of Christ, although, of course, he's the central figure by far. But the significance is that we were also resurrected with him. And that position puts us in a great place of authority on this earth. I'm trusting God that you and I will grasp these things, as vast as they are and as daunting as it might seem to grasp the full implication. My prayer is that we'll continue crying to God for greater revelation, and that we allow these scriptures to, as it were, settle in our hearts. And as we put them into practice on a daily basis, that you and I will rise up, as it were, with eagle's wings, and operate from the full position of power and authority that Christ paid so dearly to enjoy. be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. Thank you.